about what? Put it up there.
Radical grace. Yes. We are in radical grace. All right, here we go. John 1:14 is our theme scripture. And every week I've been putting on my bow tie, so that means I'm still in teaching mode. And Sister Mitchell, just read the last part of that verse that's underlined.
Full of grace and truth.
So we talked about how when Jesus came, he came full of grace and truth. The definition we have for radical is relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something, far-reaching and thorough. Far-reaching or thorough. That's the thing that I've really been getting in my mind when I think about grace, a far-reaching and a thorough grace. And then our definition for grace that we've been working with is grace, a gift from the Heavenly Father given through his Son, Jesus Christ. The word grace, as used in the scriptures, refers primarily to enabling power, both dunamis and exousia, which means both authority and power, or the right to use the power, and spiritual healing offered through mercy and love of Jesus Christ. We say if mercy and love had a baby, its name would be grace. Through his grace, the Lord enables those who live his gospel to repent and be forgiven. Amen. So we started off with dispensations. And then that was radical grace part one. We dealt with dispensations. Radical grace part two, we went from dispensations to discipleship. So now that leads us to radical grace part three. Amen. All right. So what we're going to do. So I don't know if you had picked it up before, but I've been tying each one of these grace teachings with a D word. But I got a little carried away this time. So put this up. Four D's. Of sin and grace. So we're going to talk about four D's today. So we had dispensations, we had discipleship. Today I'm going to throw four D's. And it's really the four D's of grace. But I put sin out there in parentheses because whenever you're dealing with grace, the hidden elephant in the room is, when are we going to talk about sin? What about sin? What about sin? And I hear some people criticize other preachers and say, they don't preach on sin no more. They don't preach on sin. They don't talk about sin. I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about sin, but I'd rather talk about the solution than I do the problem. But sin is something we still have to deal with because it is real. And so what we're going to do, these four D's, we're going to tie them in with grace, but we're going to connect them to sin. So you see both the sin principle and the grace principle so you understand it. One thing we're not doing, we're not pretending that sin is not in the world and we're not pretending that sin is not in us. But what we are saying is we have a Savior that has a radical grace that's so far-reaching and it's so thorough, it makes sin secondary. It puts sin in parentheses. His grace is so radical and so thorough that when you stand before God, he calls you not guilty, even though you have some sin over here. Because of Christ, he declares you not guilty. So sin should never be the forefront of our mind. When it's at the forefront of our mind, theologians call it a sin consciousness. And when you carry around a sin consciousness, it's hard to flow in grace because you get stuck in sin. All right. So in order to do that, let me I don't want to talk too much about sin, but let me give you a little background on sin. And this I think this will really help us. So we're going to put this up. Sin hamartia. Hamartia is a Greek word that comes from another root word. We're going to go to the root word next. But this hamartia, there's five different definitions for it. I only picked four of them. And I'm starting with the second definition. So it's a very familiar definition. It means to miss the mark. So if you have a target, you shoot and you miss. In Greek, that's hamartia, or that's called sin. Number three, to err or be mistaken. And four, to miss or wander from the path of uprightness and honor, to do or go wrong. If you hear and none of these three things hit you, stand to your feet. And if you stand to your feet, we're going to cast out lying demons at the end of the service. Because we done all missed the mark. We have all erred and been mistaken. We have all missed or wandered from the path of righteousness and honor, and we have all done some wrong, some W-R-O-N-G. Some of us went past wrong and went straight to B-A-D. Some of us went past B-A-D and went straight to E-V-I-L. We done some wrong, some bad, and some evil in this life.
Yes, sir.
So we understand what sin is. It is a missing of the mark. But it's so interesting that when you look at the root word, you find revelation. So let's go to the root word, and we get, have the first definition of the root word. The root word is hamartano. So hamartia is a offshoot of the hamartano root word. If you know anything about language, there's usually a root word and words that grow out of the root word. The root word, the definition of this, to be without a share in. It was funny when I was reading it and studying it. It's like, that doesn't even sound like sin. I understand error, mistaken, missed the mark. But to be without a share in, then revelation went off in my lightning fast mind. It takes me a while. When I come and preach to y'all, y'all be like, oh, he know a lot. But sometimes it take God a while to get stuff through my thick skull. But I caught the revelation. The root of sin is this, to be without a share in, which means to not be in relationship with. So when you are not in relationship with God, you are in hamartano. You are not sharing in relationship with him. And so you are stuck in sin. Let's go back up to sin hamartia. Go back up. So you can miss the mark and still be in relationship with God. You can err and be mistaken and still be in a relationship with God. You can miss or wander and still be in relationship with God. But let's go over here to hamartano. To be without a share in is totally different. In other words, God can work with your hamartia, but he cannot work with your hamartano. The grace that I'm talking about is not for your hamartano, it's for your hamartia. In other words, I'm probably being too deep, so let me put this up. Put this up for us. There's saving grace and sustaining grace. If you are without a share in, you need to get saved. You are not in relationship with God, and his grace is not to cover and help. His grace is to get you saved. Early in the service, I had y'all look at each other and say, get saved. It reminded me of a story that my uncle told me about my beautiful grandmother, my mother's mother, Mother Bacon, who's so sweet and so kind. But sometimes them sweet people can cut you even in a sweet way. We had a cousin that said she had taken some classes and she went through some seminary classes and they were going to ordain her to be an elder and preacher in the church. And she said, baby, that's so sweet, but you need to get saved first. It tickled us. But she said, all that stuff you're doing, it means nothing if you're not having a share in relationship with God. You can put on a clergy collar and not be saved. You can go to church and not be saved. You can quote the Lord's Prayer and not be saved. And what you need in that moment, you need some saving grace. You need to get saved. You need to ask the Lord into your life. You need to stop playing with God and stop coming here trying to fool people. Why would you go to hell from the church? I don't understand. If I'm going to be a hellion, I'm not going to do it in church. I'm just going to go out there and be a hellion. I'm not going to come in here and fake. If you come in here and faking, the only thing I have to say, tell you is get saved. In other words, trust the Lord. But if you're beyond that and you have trusted the Lord, then this is so beautiful. We get sustaining grace. All right, how can I explain? The Winans had a song that said this way. It said it this way. It said, it's so good to know he'll be there if ever I fall. But it's better to know that I don't have to fall at all because he's able to keep me. See, God doesn't mind you erring as long as you keep coming back to him so he can teach you that I'm here to keep you. I know you wandered off, but if you come back, I can sustain you with my radical grace. If you playing around, I need you to get saved. But if you are saved and you're still struggling and you're still missing and the devil takes advantage of you every now and then and you fall and scuff up your knees, guess what? I'm here for you. My mama would put jeans on me, send me to school, and I come back with grass stains on my knees. She's like, boy, how do you always have grass stains on your knees? But she didn't kick me out the house. She would put some shout on the grass stains, put the jeans in the washer, pull them out of the dryer, and give them back to me and say, try it again. In other words, you may fall, you may fail, but the radical sustaining grace, it will wash you, it'll clean you, but you try it again. Now, if I was walking out the house with no jeans at all, she'd have to spank my behind. So we're talking about people who need sustaining grace. We're not talking about people who are playing church. You play church if you want to, and you're going to be caught in a pretty warm place when you leave this earth. I ain't trying to do that. I need sustaining grace. All right. So I know ain't none of y'all here need to be saved. I know y'all saved. So I'm talking to folk in TV land. Get saved. You know what? When I hear people leading folk to the prayer of salvation, I say it too, just in case. I'm saved. I believe I'm saved, but I still want to call on the name of the Lord. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we need saving grace, but we need sustaining grace. All right. So that's going to get us to our four D's. So the first one is dialogue. So here's the thing. When you are without a share-in, what you don't want to do, you don't want to dialogue with God about your sins. You want to hide your sins. In other words, as long as I can fool Bishop Starks, I'm good. But you can't fool God. So what you need to do is dialogue about your sin. See, God, when he's trying to sustain you with his grace, he wants to talk to you about you. Deliver me from people who always want to talk about somebody else and don't think that God ever wants to talk to them about them. If you're in this life, the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you about you. I don't mind sustaining you. I don't mind washing you. I don't mind cleaning you, but I want to talk to you. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have ever experienced this, but when God gets in your face, see, after service is over, after you get home from work and you sitting down by yourself and the Spirit comes and says, you know you was wrong. You know you've been acting ugly. Have you ever had to have dialogue about yourself? Let me say it like I used to say when I was young, you tripping. You ever been saved but tripping? You just tripping. Your attitude's funny. And you know what? Many times what you need is some good dialogue with God. Because here's the thing. Many times sin is the fruit. And God is not concerned about the fruit. He's concerned about the root. If I can fix the root, I can change the fruit. But I can't change the fruit if you don't want to talk about it. So that's why I get up here and tell y'all that I used to be hooked on pornography. Oh, why would a preacher say that? Because I need folk to know you go through some stuff in this life and you need somebody to deal with the roots in your life. You need God to pull up some stuff and change some stuff. You can't just pull. If you take an orange tree and you pull all the oranges off the tree and throw the oranges away, that don't fix the problem. Them oranges are going to grow again. Because as long as the root is oranges, guess what the fruit going to be? Oranges. So in church, we like to clean up so nobody knows we're going through something. Let me pull these oranges off the tree so I can come to church and look like everything's okay. Let me not drink so late on Saturday so I'll be sober Sunday. Let me put some peppermint in my mouth and act like everything's okay. That don't fix your problem, baby. You got to get to the root. You can fool us, but when you go home and sit and talk to God, you need a dialogue to God and say, God, something's wrong with me. Please help me. Deliver me. I like the way Jacob did it. Jacob wrestled with God and said, I'm not letting go to you. Bless me. I don't care that I can fool Kristen, I can fool Devin, and I can fool Ruther. God, I can't fool you. Talk to me about me. I'm bitter and I don't know why. I'm mean and I don't know why. I'm jealous and I don't know why. What do you mean, Pastor? Because we act like that's not sin. We only want to talk about cussing, drinking, smoking, sexing. That's all we want to talk about. But we don't want to talk about real issues that we have. I'm evil. Something's wrong with me. I'm still holding on to the molestation. And every man I meet, I sabotage the relationship. God, we need to talk to me about me. And that's real grace when God can just work on you and talk to you about you. All right, so let's go to Isaiah 1:4.
Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him.
You would have to know the context of Isaiah chapter 1. This is one of those, it's interesting, when you read Isaiah chapter 1 and read it, it's one of those times where you can tell God is ticked off. A lot of times you would see God in talking about his wrath, but he was talking to his church. It wasn't the church then, it was Israel, his nation. And he was fed up with them. He was fed up with their church services, and he starts telling them. And here, he just lets them know, look, y'all evil is great. Y'all corrupt. You done turned your backs on me. And he talks, but he goes all the way down to verse 18, telling them about themselves. And look at what he says in verse 18. Read that.
Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
You have to understand the heart of God. This was before the cross. There was no sacrifice for sins yet. Only thing they can do is bring the bulls and the goats. But there was no real sacrifice for sin. And God said, I'm so fed up with y'all. I'm so tired of your corruption, your evil. But then he comes around and said, but just come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as deep as a dark burgundy, I want to make them white as snow. You have to understand, God does not like your sin, but he would rather wash you than throw you away. Come, let's talk about this. I know you're divorced, but let's talk about this. I know you're struggling in your sexuality, but let's talk about this. I know you do some devious things to get income to come into your house, but let's talk about this. God is not so quick to throw people away as we think that he is. God is not holding the lightning to strike you. God wants to talk to his people. Come, let's reason together. And that was before the cross. If God would reason with them before the cross, what do you think he would do with us after the cross? After the sacrifice was paid. After, let me put it to you this way. He has a big, huge, unlimited vat of tied with bleach. And all he wants to do is wash somebody. But we're running away from God. Oh, I keep cussing. I can't come to God. No, run to God. He want to wash you. He said, let's dialogue. Let's talk about this. Because what he wants to show you is you're not cussing because you're a cusser. You're cussing because there's another root in you that I want to deal with. In other words, the sin that we see is the surface. God wants to get deeper. Let me give you an example. I read a book that changed my life, and I didn't understand that it had, it taught me the path of almost everything I had been in up to that point. It was by Joyce Meyer. It was called The Root of Rejection. And it talks about when you have felt any kind of rejection, how you hold that in you, and that root grows and it produces all kinds of different fruit. But at the end of the day is the root of rejection. Let me explain something to you women. Sometimes the guy that is a player, he didn't grow up being a player. But some girl broke his heart And he said, I'll never be rejected again. And he lives life dogging other women out. But that's not really who he is. The root is he was rejected one day and it changed how he acted. And what God says, I see you doing the sin, but I want to get down to your root. I want to deliver you to your root. If you come to the house of God, God wants to deliver you from the rooter to the tutor. He wants to get all the way down to your root and clean you. But you have to dialogue with him. Got to talk to him. You can't be happy with a buck and a shout. Oh, we dance. After you get done dancing, he won't talk to you. Because after you get done dancing at church, you go and flirt with every girl on your job. So I want to talk to you. I want to dialogue with you. Because the church folk can't see who you really are. And I don't want to kick you out. I want to wash you. But let's have some conversation. But we don't want to talk to God, because God starts talking about stuff we don't want to hear. I tell you all the time, when I say, God, fix my marriage, fix my wife. I'm tired of my wife. God said, I want to talk to you about you. Well, I don't know if that's the right revelation. I tried. Guess what? God wanted to talk to Andre. And God wasn't concerned about fixing Devin. And maybe he was going to fix her on his own time. But he said, I want to fix you. Your problem is, amen, your problem is you. And he wants to dialogue. So that's good. That gives us some hope and some freedom, that even if you have some issues and you're struggling in the hamartia where you're missing some stuff, I'm not talking about when you're over here playing church. I'm talking about you're serious. Here's some revelation for you. Talk to God about it. It's okay. I've talked to God about some stuff, and what God says, my grace is sufficient. And I've told other people this. I've told people who have weed addictions, and they don't understand it at all. And they're like, man, I just can't stop smoking this weed. And I tell them, just keep on smoking and say, I'm the righteousness of God. Keep on smoking it. Well, you're gonna smoke it anyway. You're going to smoke it anyway, so ain't no need you trying to go with willpower. You're going to smoke it. But when you light it up, say, I won't be like this forever. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. God, you are delivering me. I thank you for your deliverance. Now, I don't know how I know how to do it, because, you know, I don't know that. But God, I thank you for delivering me. And what you will find out is God will get in the root and begin to destroy stuff in your life, and you'll find out that you begin to want God more than you want anything else. Here's the thing: if they legalize weed in Muncie tomorrow, I wouldn't do it, not because it's no longer illegal. I wouldn't do it because I don't want to mess up the high that I already have. I'd have to come down to get high. I don't need it. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And since the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. My wife's grandmother died yesterday, but I'm still preaching. I don't need no marijuana. I don't need no cocaine. I got the joy of the Lord, and it is my strength. But I didn't get there overnight. I got there through dialogue. And one time when I was talking to God, I told God, I said, God, I feel like an onion, because you deliver me in layers. See, what I found out, and I'm taking my time today, but what I found out is avoidance is not deliverance. See, so when I came out of school, I wasn't drinking anymore, because I moved back with my parents. So I wasn't going to drink in front of my parents. So I thought I was delivered from alcohol. But I wasn't delivered, I was avoiding. How did I know the difference? One day I was sitting in Applebee's eating my food, and I looked over and seen the bar, and it's like every one of those bottles just started, they was talking to me from the shelf and glistening to me, and it scared me. But what I did, I went in dialogue with God. I said, God, what's wrong with me? He said, because you've been operating in avoidance.
I want to take you to deliverance. I want to get so deep in you that even when you see it, it doesn't bother you. I want to take you to another level. Don't be mad about avoidance. You need avoidance to get the party started. But God kept delivering me until I was delivered all the way, until it's not a need. If I do it, it's just because I want to do it. I do not need alcohol. I do not need drinks. I do not need some drug. I do not need pornography. Not because I'm special, but because I have been delivered. And I got delivered not through altar only. I got delivered through dialogue with God. God, help me. God, I need your help. God, I thank you for your help. And God, I'm messing up. God, I'm tripping. And sometimes when I'm saying, God, I'm tripping, God would say, boy, I love you. Son, I still called you. You're the greatest preacher this side of heaven. God would tell me stuff like that to make me feel better about me. And I get up and guess what? I'm no longer dialoguing with God. I start dialoguing with Satan. Satan, get your hands off of me. Satan, I'm coming out of this. Satan, I will not fall in this again because I had this radical grace through my dialogue with God. Church attendance is vitally important. But if you can't get to a church service, talk to God. God will make a difference. All right. So that's going to take us to this doctrine. So let's dig into a little doctrine. So let's get some doctrine about sin. What does God think about sin from the Bible? Stop listening to what your uncle say about sin. Uncle Ray Ray. Ray Ray ain't saved. So stop listening to what Ray Ray say about sin. Ray Ray said, yeah, if you want a woman to love you, you got to tap her upside the head every now and then. Stop listening to Ray Ray. Ray Ray ain't got no Ray Ray ain't got no deliverance. And Ray Ray might get you hurt. Don't stop listening to Ray Ray. Because some of these women can fight too. Stop listening to Ray Ray. Stop listening to people. But dialogue with God. But let's look at the doctrine. Now when I say dialogue with God, now this is something that you do have to understand about God. So if I go to the movies and I go and watch Spider-Man 2, before I watch Spider-Man 1, guess what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be a little confused because I'm picking up the sequel when I need to find out what happened first. So oftentimes when you dialogue with God, he leads you to his word because many times you're asking him stuff that he's already written. So when you start talking to God, he starts saying, getting in your word. And you say, well, I'm tired. Okay, well, you're not going to get where you need to go. So when you dialogue with God, God may tell you, read a little bit. Well, I get tired when I read. We all get tired when we read. Just keep reading. You're going to find something that's going to stick. It's going to get in your spirit. But let's look at some doctrine. Let's look at Romans 5:17.
For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ.
That sounds real deep, but it's super, super simple. It says this, basically, if all of us got in trouble when Adam and Eve messed up with the fruit, I didn't choose to have the struggles I have. Adam and Eve did that. Now, when I get to heaven, I do want to talk to Adam and Eve. Like, come on, y'all. Like, dang, y'all play too much. You had one job. And you messed up. So we all were thrown into sin by the act of two people. But then the scripture says, why wouldn't God be fair and make us all be righteous by the act of one as well? If Adam screwed us up, couldn't Jesus fix us up? So we understand that Adam messed everything up, but we forget that Jesus fixed everything up. Now, read this verse again.
For if by the trespass of the one man,
by the sin of the one man,
death reigned through that one man,
death came,
how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace,
abundant provision of what?
Grace.
Radical grace. Basically, here's the thing. Adam messed it up. All you've got to do is receive the radical grace and read.
And of the gift of righteousness.
Which is, it's a gift.
Reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ.
You can begin to reign, which means like a king, you begin to rule. So Adam calls us to be under the curse. Grace calls us to reign above the curse.
All right, let's read the next verse.
Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people.
All people?
So also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people.
Well, I don't believe just because Jesus died on the cross, it can fix everything. But if you believe that somebody ate a fruit and messed up everything, you might as well believe that somebody can get on the cross and fix everything. Next verse.
For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous.
Here's the thing. The many were made sinners, and then the many will be made righteous. So righteousness is a will be progressive act. We get righteousness right away, but after we receive this abundant provision of grace, guess what it does? It keeps growing us into righteousness. Like we talked about last week, it grows us into discipleship. So guess what? There's no way you can lose in this Christian life. You can only lose if you quit.
Amen.
If you received grace, because here's what God said. God said, I know Adam and Eve, because of Satan, screwed it all up. I got a place for Satan to go. All I need you to do is take this gift to erase everything that was done. And this is what we're doing. We're looking at the gift and we're trying to get fix it in our own righteousness. Oh, I got to do better. I got to do better. I got to be a better person. Quit all that and just grab the gift of grace and say, God, I'm going to dialogue with you, and me and you, we're going to get this thing together. I ain't worth a dime, but with you, I am something. I am somebody in God. I am smart. I am wise. I am important with you, God. I'm going to grab this grace. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to act better. I'm going to live better. I'm going to talk to you. I'm not going to allow this grace to sit on the shelf. I'm going to receive this radical grace, and folk who knew me in 2018 won't recognize me in 2020. I'm going to be something new, something different. I'm going to transition. I'm going to change. I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to be metamorphosis. I'm not going to die the way I was. I'm growing. I'm going. I'm moving forward, and it's got nothing to do with me, but everything to do with the free gift of grace, which is his righteousness. All right, read the next verse.
The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more.
The King James says it this way. He said, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So here's what this is. Here's the doctrine of this that I can explain to you. It says that the law, or the rules. So if you know anything about scripture, you don't have any rules until Moses came. Then we have the Ten Commandments, and from that grew into the law. It said the law was brought so that the trespass would increase. The law was brought to expose sin, but the law could not make you righteous. In other words, the law could say, do not commit adultery. The law could say, do not kill, but the law could not power you so that you would not commit adultery and you would not kill. All they could do was point to you what was wrong. And the purpose of the law was to show you that without a savior, you're lost. If you don't receive the free gift, there's no way you can do it. I don't care how good you are. Good cannot get you into this, because we all are born from the root of sin. So he says, you know, the law, the purpose of the law was to make sin look as bad as it was supposed to look. Next verse.
So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
What if we looked at the doctrine and realized what God did? God elevated grace to the same level as sin, but raised it up higher. In other words, we talking about sin. Woo, these folk would get, God would bless them if they stopped sinning. Instead of talking about that, how about we say if they received grace, they'd stop sinning. And God be able to do what he wanted to do, because God put grace up here. But in the church, we put sin so high. You can't come to church unless you stop sinning. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Bring your sinning tail to the house of God and find the free gift of this radical grace. Because grace is to erase sin. Now remember what sin we're talking about? We ain't talking about when you don't have a share in relationship with God and you're playing with God. We're talking about when you're just a regular person and you're making mistakes. Grace is there for you. Read the next verse.
Dead to sin, alive in Christ, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?
So here's the question. Well, okay, if whenever sin abound, grace did much more abound, how about, you know what? I love Devin, but shoot, I like Sanaa Lathan too. So I'm going to go and try to get in her inbox and talk to her and try to, no, that's not what we're saying. We're not saying doing that so things can increase. But what we are saying is if for one, some reason, if you mess up and do something you know you shouldn't have done, you do not have to kill yourself and throw yourself away and walk away from God. What you're supposed to do is walk back into grace and dialogue. You know what, God, I knew I shouldn't have done it. I don't know why I did it. I don't know why I misrepresented you like this, but God, I'm here for you to correct me, to clean me. I'm holding on to you. I need this grace. Do you understand? We need grace to live this Christian life. We need it because we all have been pushed to the edge. Kind of makes you wonder and keep from going under. I'm close to the edge. I try to say it so y'all wouldn't know I was still in the rap line. I was. Some of y'all caught it, but do you realize that you would be a good person if it wasn't for the devil? He tempts us. He pushes us. He picks with us. What kind of God would watch his children being picked with and say, they know they need to do better? If my daughter comes home and says, there's a boy bullying me, y'all gonna have to pray for Pastor Andre. Because I want to intervene because I'm her father. But we think that, oh, God just gonna say, y'all need to just quit sinning. No. He wants to throw us grace. See, here's the thing. God's too big to fight Satan. It's not fair. And the Bible says God is just. So God's not going to fight Satan for us, but he will throw us a lifeline. It's called grace. You're over there cutting up. Catch this grace. Here's some grace. And here we are. The grace is there. And we just still trying to do it our own way. God, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. Quit all that and pick up the grace that God is offering you. He's trying to pull you out of stuff. With loving kindness have you drawn me. I wish I could just put it in people's head. Because when people mess up, the first thing they do is stop coming to church. I can't come to church. Folk gonna look at me. Folk gonna look at you either way. Come to church. Get this grace. And don't be silly. If you're in the paper and you go to Deliverance Temple and you're in Star Press and they say you've killed 5 people, we gonna look at you funny. We're going to wonder, are you going to kill us next? We're going to look at you funny. Some things that you do, there are consequences. Folk don't talk because you do stupid stuff. But it doesn't mean we're going to withhold grace from you. We're going to send you a newsletter in prison because that's where you need to be. But in our newsletter, it says we pray for all of our inmates. And I hope y'all don't just look at that as words. Pray for people that are locked up. Just because they made a mistake that landed them in there doesn't mean they don't need God's grace. Because Jesus was arrested. Paul was arrested. Martin Luther King was arrested. Some of the greatest people that ever walked the face of the earth have been in jail. Says we don't throw them away. We offer them grace. Doesn't mean we wipe away everything that they did. And sometimes when some of those people ask us to show up to them for court, we show up out of love. We know they're getting time. Because we know how this justice system is. If you dark skinned, you're going to get some time because they dirty. But that don't mean we're not going to show up in droves and stand up for you. And hopefully God turn around. We're praying the best. And the last time somebody got in trouble, somebody asked me, why would a church stand up for them? Because he belongs to our church. That's why. What's wrong with you? He's ours. And we're here for him. And we'll pray for him because that's what radical grace is about. It's about no matter where you find yourself, there's a lifeline. And some folk are locked up outside of the four walls of a prison. They locked up in their head, and we're trying to throw them the lifeline of grace. All right, read the next verse.
By no means, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?
So we're not talking about playing with God. We've explained that in this grace series. We cannot live in sin. Live means comfortable. See, when I moved into my new house, the first thing I did after signing the deed and when we knew we was going to close, as I started ordering furniture, because you know what? I was going to live in it. And when you're living in something, you are comfortable in it. Guess what? I don't want to make you look at me bad because I look nice and I'm dressed up. But if you come in my room, there might be some drawers somewhere on the side of my bed. I'm not saying they should be there. But the reason why they get there and it doesn't bother me is because I'm comfortable. This is my bedroom. Y'all belong in my bedroom. This is my bedroom. If you come in, I ain't just going to talk about me. I'm talking about my wife, too. Yeah, I'm going to talk about her, too. You come into my wife's bathroom, you might find a little pieces of weave somewhere on the sink. But we're comfortable. So what the scripture says, we don't get that way with sin. We don't get comfortable with sin and act like can't nobody talk to me about what I'm doing it. No. I'm supposed to talk to you if you're comfortable in it. If you're married and you have 12 girlfriends, something is wrong with you. You should not be comfortable like that. It's one thing to struggle. It's another thing to be comfortable. The scripture says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Then it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Then it says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, they were walking through sin. Then they start standing in sin. Then they start being comfortable in sin. If you're comfortable in sin, something is wrong. You need grace. Yes, I was hooked on pornography, but I wasn't comfortable. I was doing it and didn't like it. I was crying about it. I said, God, I want to stop. I wasn't comfortable. And that's why he delivered me, because I wasn't comfortable in it. When you start making excuses and trying to find scriptures to excuse your sin, you're comfortable in it, and it's not right. By no means. The King James says, God forbid. That's against the doctrine of God. But if you find yourself somehow you done slipped into something and you're like the prodigal son, you eating slop with the pig, and you wake up one day, the Bible says he came to himself. See, what you have to understand, sometimes when people are sinning, they are not even themselves. Let me throw this in, and I got some time just to throw this in. Scientifically, they have changed the way they're handling addiction. It does bother me a little bit, because when it was a crack addiction, it was just all you black folk are wrong. But now it's switched to opioid addiction. Now it's a massive thing. Everybody got to deal with, because the skin color changed. Y'all got to pray with me about that, because that kind of bothers me. But scientifically, they have found out that certain addictions actually change the brain chemistry. And so it's not so much that I want to do it, but my brain has shifted and my brain says I need it. And so now that my brain has shifted and say I need it, why would the church kick somebody out? Because now what they call it a disease. Because it's not just about sin. Something has happened. And the devil knew what he was doing when he was getting people hooked. And the church is saying, you can't come to my church and you popping pills. No, come to my church, because we're going to help that brain get changed. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it's not just drugs. It's some of y'all gossipers. Your brain is so hooked on gossiping, you don't know how to have a conversation without running somebody else down. Because you still have a root of rejection. So you got to make everybody, you got to bring everybody else to knot so you can come up. And God wants to deliver you from that stuff too. We don't want you comfortable in that. But here's the thing about church folk. Drug addiction usually will expose you. Adultery will expose you. A smoking addiction will expose you because you can smell it. Drinking addiction will expose you because you can smell it. But it's easy to hide a gossip addiction. It's easy to hide that and be a bishop and gossip about every other church but yours. It's easy to hide that, but God still knows, and you need deliverance. We need to be free. So that gets me to my, this is my third D, which is what?
Dominion.
So we're going through dialogue. You need to talk to God. And when you talk to God, maybe he'll lead you to the doctrine. The doctrine is there is grace for that. Look at your neighbor and say, there's grace for that. I don't care what you're going through. There's grace for that. Not just grace, but radical grace. Far reaching. Thorough grace, but you have to want it. There's grace to get you out of that, but you have to want it. All right. So now let's move into dominion. Let's read Romans 6:11.
In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
I might be caught in this struggle of hamartia, where I'm missing the mark, but I'm the King James says, reckon yourself dead to sin. I may be doing it, but I'm dead to it. Whew, I didn't want to go here, but I think I can go. Ooh, this is kind of rough. I think I can just step out here a little bit on this. Some of you women would understand. Some of you women have checked out of a relationship and you're ready for the next train smoking to get out of the relationship, but somehow you're stuck in the relationship for whatever reason. Maybe you are in the relationship and the male holds all the power. It's his house, it's his car, and so you haven't made your way out of it yet. But you trying to get out. You ever seen the movie with Tina Turner called What Love Got to Do with It? She had checked out on Ike a long time ago, but she couldn't find a way to get out. And so in those relationships, sometimes there are still sexual relationships. And women, you know that you can be doing the deed but have checked out. You may be doing it, but you're not where you're not what you're doing, because mentally and emotionally you have checked out. You haven't got a chance to get out yet, but you checked out. The man's so stupid he don't know. He think he really doing something, but you done checked out. But in this, reckon yourself dead to sin. I may not be out of it yet, but I've emotionally and spiritually, I'm free. Emotionally and spiritually, I'm not addicted. I may still be doing it, but I reckon myself dead to sin. In other words, you're not going to have dominion over me. I'm coming out of this. I'm breaking this. It may not be today, but I'm breaking this. It may not be tomorrow, but I'm breaking this. With your help, with your radical grace, I'm coming out of this. Could be something as deep as your spending habits. I'm in debt because I'm a horrible steward. And even as a horrible steward, in debt, running your credit card for stuff you know you shouldn't be doing, you keep saying, one day, I'm not going to be using this plastic. I'm going to do better. I'm going to put some scissors to this car. I'm going to cut it up. And some of y'all, you can't hardly just close them scissors. Just the devil don't want you to do it, but I'm not gonna be a bad steward all my life. I don't know how, but I'm coming out of this. I have an addiction to spending, but I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna start by tithing. I'm gonna start by giving. I'm gonna do better. Reckon yourself dead to whatever's holding you, because you are the one giving it power. When you have a sin consciousness, you give the sin the power. All right, let's read the next verse.
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires.
So don't let it reign. Don't let it rule. It's one thing when you wake up in the morning and you've planned your day, and by the end of your day, you've done something wrong. That's one thing. It's another thing to wake up in the morning and start planning what you're going to do wrong. That's when you are letting it rule. You stop letting sin rule. You tell the devil no. Now, you may tell them no and still do the wrong thing, but you get back up and say no again. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I'm not going to think like that. I'm not going to be like that. Let me bring it down to something real we can understand. Let me bring it down to worry. This is something we all got to face.
You ever had something you're facing and that worry is trying to jump in your head? You tell the devil no. When they told me you guys are going to be on strike, see if we went on strike in 2018, I'd been cool. But we went on strike in 2019 after I had just bought a car and had some irons in the fire. So when we first found out we was going to be on strike, I was trying to worry, but I told the devil, no, I'm not going to worry. And here's one of the things that I told the devil. I keep talking about I want to be off the job. And the moment I get a chance to be off the job, I'm going to complain and worry. The devil is a lie. I don't know how we're going to do this thing, but we're going to make it. Maybe I'm going to have to lean on Devin. Maybe she's going to have to pay for a bunch of stuff. But I'm going to enjoy my time off. I'm not going to worry. I speak to the devil. I'm not going to worry. Now, this did not happen overnight. It took me about 2 solid days. To get my mind right. After that third day, I enjoyed my strike. I enjoyed being with my family. I enjoyed being with my kids. But I had to tell the devil, I'm not going to worry. Guess what? The bill's still going to be there. You might get evicted, but you're still going to be breathing. You might not get a chance to go to Red Lobster, all you can eat shrimp, but you're going to be okay. You might not get the chance to eat the ribs you want. Go to McDonald's and get a McRib and just be happy with that. You're going to be okay. And once the devil finds out he cannot make you fear, he doesn't know what to do with you, because the storms he sends to blow you over, they only grow you higher. You can't stop this. You can't stop what God has done in my life. Guess what? Right after I got done with preaching Radically Blessed, we went on strike. But guess what? I'm still radically blessed. I believe God. I won't worry. I won't fret. And I'm getting to the place where I'm older now. And so being older, sometimes when you're dealing with kids and your kids go to places and do things, and sometimes fear tries to set in. Me and my wife had an opportunity to go on a quick date on Friday morning. As we were going to the Ball State area. And as we get close to the Ball State area, we see all these kids coming out of the school. We see a fire truck. We see ambulance. And we were thinking, is this a fire drill? But we begin to understand this is not a fire drill. Something is really going on at the school. Guess what me and Devin did? We text Draylen, try to call him. We didn't get no answer. We went on to our date. Because I'm not going to worry. God got my kids. And if something is going on, there's enough Holy Ghost in me that would tell me to stop the car. We went and ate and enjoyed ourselves and picked them up at 3 o'clock when school was over. Because God got this. Stop being so fearful and so worried and so anxious about everything. Tell the devil no. Let me say it this way. Tell hell no. All right, next verse.
Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness.
Next verse.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law.
So under the old dispensation, under the law, it gives us the inference that sin actually had dominion over you. But here it says sin shall not have dominion over you because you're under this radical grace. You may sin, but it won't dominate you. You may sin, but you're going to come out of it. You may fall, but you'll grow through it. You're going to be okay. Guess what? Basically what it says in the back of the book, you W-I-N. You're going to win. I love to tell this story all the time. When the Bulls won their first championship and they were playing the Lakers. And so I had to go to church, and so I taped the game. And then when I got home to pop the tape in, somehow the news was on when I got to pop the tape in, and it came up that the Bulls had won. I'm like, dang, I was getting ready to watch the game. I didn't want to know what happened, but I already found out the outcome. But hey, I was already here, so I started watching the game. The game goes into overtime, and somehow in my mind, I forgot. I already knew the end. I already knew the outcome. And so I got nervous for a second, wondering what's going to happen. Then it dawned on me. You already know who wins.
So chill out and relax and just see how it plays out. Here's the thing. If you've been to the back of the book, you already know you're going to win. So relax. Get you some popcorn and find out how God going to get me out of this one. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it because he's good all by himself. He's the great God. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Shield me with thy powerful hand. I don't know how you're going to do it, but do it again. Won't he do it? Won't he will? Won't he do it? Won't he bring you out? I'm not scared. I'm not worried. I'm not nervous. The God that I serve in his radical grace, he'll do it again. If he did it before, he can do it again. If he turned me around before, he can do it again. If he pulled me out before, he can do it again. God, do it, do it, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do your thing, Lord. Do your thing. Down, down, do your thing. No, do your thing, Lord. Because I know who holds my future. Do it, Lord. And sin won't have dominion over me. I'm not going to leave here addicted. I'm not going to leave here broke. I'm not going to leave here busted in discussion. I'm not going to leave here divorced. I'm going to the top because I know who holds my future. I got radical grace. Next few verses.
Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness.
You're going to bow down to something. So don't bow down to sin. Bow down to God. Next verse.
But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance.
I love the way it said, it's now claimed your allegiance. See, even though my mind wanted to find that alcohol appealing, something had grabbed my heart and claimed my allegiance. For God I live, for God I die. I can't leave this thing if I wanted to, because it claimed my allegiance. Sometimes it makes me just a little itchy inside for me to put my hand over my heart and say, I pledge allegiance to a flag. I say it out of honor and respect, but my allegiance is not to a flag. It's not to a government. My allegiance is not to a lion. I mean, it's not to a lamb. My allegiance is to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. My allegiance is to God. For him I live. In him do I live. In him do I move. In him do I have my being. He captured my heart. And because he captured my heart, I'm not going to die a weakling. I'm not going to die a punk. I'm not going to die a bitter, mean, backstabbing Christian. I'm dying on the top of the mountain. I don't care how many valleys I go through. I don't care how many battles I go through. I'm looking at Goliath and say, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? I believe in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into and they are safe. Next verse.
You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness.
I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm not a slave to cotton. I'm not a slave to this American system. I'm a slave to righteousness. Yeah, they dragged us over here and they got over on our backs. But guess what? I'm a slave to righteousness. And God gonna do it right for me. And the last shall be first. They may have dragged us over here on slave ships, but you watch this next season of millionaires. It's gonna be so many black millionaires and billionaires because it's our time. It's our moment. They can't stop what God has for us. We are kings. We are priests. We are queens. But one thing I won't do is take the money and be a slave to sin. No, I'm going to be a slave to righteousness. All right, so that leads me to the last D. Somebody say the last D. Dividends. Dividends. So we have dialogue, doctrine, dominion, dividends. Just give us a definition of dividends. Dividends defined. One, a sum of money paid regularly, typically quarterly, by a company to its shareholders out of its profits. Number two, wages or benefits. So dividends is something that comes back to you based on the company that you are invested in. If you are walking away from sin toward God, you are investing in the kingdom of God, not just by your money, but everything you do is an investment in the kingdom of God, and there is no payer like the kingdom of God. General Motors can't pay me like the kingdom paid me. While I was on strike, they didn't give me anything, but God made people put money in my hand. Can't nobody bless you like God. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. I don't know how I got to the end of the message and feel like preaching. Can't nobody treat you like God. Can't nobody bless you like God. You can't be God-giving no matter how hard you try. There's rewards, there's dividends, there's benefits, there's wages, there's blessings in the kingdom life. And the righteous life, they are blessings. I know it looks like the world is blessed, but David said this way. He said, my feet almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, but then I saw how it's going to end. So here's the thing. What people don't understand about us, even if we don't get it in this life, we cross over to another life where the streets are filled with gold. We cannot lose. We win either way. And the Bible says we do not die when we believe God. We don't die. We just cross from one life to the next. We just transition from one lane to the next. We just move from one place to the next. We just transition into the presence of a great, awesome God. We get dividends for living this righteous life. And I'm grateful. Romans 6, 22. Let me pull old Dad Rollins on y'all. One glad morning, when this life is over, fly away. I don't care if I don't drive a Rolls Royce in this life. I don't care if I don't have a house on the hill in this life. I know there's a life to come where my Savior is, where I'm going to be blessed. You're not going to lose if you choose righteousness. Read verse 22. And the result is eternal life. Guess what? When we first started this whole series, Bishop told us that. He said radical grace leads to radical holiness. And this tells you in the same verse, in the, I believe this is the NIV, it says it leads us to holiness. So guess what? Some of the stuff you struggled in before, you won't struggle in. God gonna free you. And it says it's a benefit. It's a benefit. In other words, when you go to a job and they say, we're going to pay you this much, that is not talking about the benefits. Benefits is something that's added on extra. So the extra benefit is at the end of the day, we end up holy because God is holy. So when he said, be ye holy, for I am holy, he wouldn't say we had to do it. He would say he was going to do it through us. I don't believe that. Let me explain to you. He looked at darkness and said, light be, and light came out of darkness. When the scripture says let there be light, if you look at the Hebrew, it's really light be. So when he said be holy, he's not telling you gotta be holy. He said I'm calling holiness out of you. You may be a prostitute today, but when I say be holy, you gotta straighten up and fly right, because I got the power to make you holy. And it's a benefit. You're looking at a holy man. You're looking at a righteous man. You're looking at an anointed man. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's because of the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm looking at a holy man. I'm looking at a righteous woman. I'm looking at a powerful woman because it's the radical grace of Jesus Christ. It's a benefit for this life. Final verse. Somebody said, thank God. Bishop said, Jesus. He's glad we got to the final verse. I need you to turn your mic on. I don't think it's on. It's on. Well, let me just read. It don't sound loud enough for me. For the wages of sin is death. Sin pays you something. Sin hands you a check. And it's not. It's like my job. It's direct deposit. You don't even see it when it comes. But sin brings death. Sin brings death. You keep stuck in sin playing with God, it brings you death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I may not be a genius, I may not be Einstein, but I'd rather have eternal life than death. It makes sense to me. We had a man that passed away years ago. His name was Dave Langdon. Dave Langdon was crazy as Applebee. He was crazy as he can be. He was coming through addiction, but he loved the Lord. He told us one day, he said, you know what? I was looking at one hand and looking at the other hand. I was looking at all the people that like God and all the people that don't like God. The folk that don't like God, they seem to be doing bad. So I'm going to choose the folk that do like God. It's pretty simplistic, but it makes a whole lot of sense. I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose this radical grace. If you need a lifeline, God will give it to you. But don't go the way of death. Choose eternal life. Let's stand to our feet. Keep everything running. Keep all the video and the sound running. Because I want to pray a prayer that goes all the way out to our podcast and to our video people. Let's bow our heads. If you're here in this moment and you do not know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, you do not have this eternal life. You do not know if you cross from this life to the next. You don't know what would happen. I want you right where you are. I want you just to say these words with me. Say, Father God, enter into my life through your Son Jesus. I've got access to radical grace. I believe it. I want it. And I want to reap the benefits. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed. Thank God for everybody that prayed that prayer. If you're here today and you've already been saved, but you're in a backslidden condition, you don't want to talk to God anymore. You're over God. I want you to say this in your heart. God, I'm coming back to you. God, draw me back to you. God, I want to be by your side. And I want your life again. Your scripture says, you are married to the backslider. And I want to be married to you again. I want to be back in the honeymoon phase. Through this radical grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everybody, let's put our hands together.